Morning, everyone.
Today, you're going to get a double hit. You're going to get what's better than one teacher, two teachers. But when you consider that as Brian and I, we're both like half a teacher, so you're still winding up with one. All right. If everybody remembers, what we've been talking about is false things that can come into our life. We have already talked about false prophets, false teachings. Now, today what we're going to talk about is false teachers. Now, that is different than false teachings. Remember, I believe it was Ed. Ed, you did the false teachings, wasn't it? Right. Yep. Ed did a great job on that, but there is, it seems like it's the same thing, but it really isn't. A false teaching can be brought into the church by anybody. Alma might not be a teacher, but she could learn something or read a book or something and start telling everybody about it and get a false teaching going in the church. But what we're speaking about today is a specific person that is a teacher and is teaching a false doctrine. Now, we're not, yeah, that's why I asked Brian, you got to have the right person for the right job. Now, we're not talking about somebody making a mistake, not quite understanding doctrine. What we're talking about is false teachers that come with deceit in mind, to plant their own seeds, to do their own thing, to lead people astray. And there are those out there that do that. All right? All right, everybody find your way to a chair, and we're going to open up. All right? Brian, who would you like you to open up today?
Well, since Sarge is looking intently here,
I appreciate it
if you'd open up.
I'm sure. Here, Sarge.
Thank you, Lord, for a beautiful day, showing us your works. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for Brian and Bob, the effort they put in their classes. Let's open our hearts, open our ears, and try to remember something. You know, take heart. They, you know, put some effort into it. Watch over Pastor Don as he travels. Watch over, you know, let's just, once again, thank you for all our benefits and the things you do for us. Wonderful breakfast. And give Brian, it's on your hands, buddy. We're all ears. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Without further ado, Brian is going to start off this morning. All right. Go ahead, Brian.
Well, for those of you old enough to remember, I don't even know if Ed is, but I consider this the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis show. And Bob, it was funny because Bob was actually singing before we were getting started this morning.
Boom, 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 boom.
So I will be Jerry Lewis. If you don't, Gil, look him up on Google. You know who he is? Okay. D. Martin, you know who he is? So Bob had asked me a while back to talk about false teachers, and I didn't know he was going to pass out all my notes. So we'll just read the notes and just call it a day. Amen. The bulk of my teaching actually came from 2 Peter chapter 2. And the Apostle Peter, he has a lot to say about false teachers. And like I wrote here, he doesn't mince any words. We're going to start off in chapter 2, verse 2. Peter says this, "But there will be false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." And the first thing here I got down is Peter, he warns the church even back then about false teachers rising up and the great harm they will do. Can many agree right now that we could turn on the TV or we could turn on the radio and there's still evidence of false teachers this very 2,000 years later? So nothing new under the sun.
Actually, probably more.
Yeah, there's actually more access. You know, you could broadcast a TV or a radio show or an internet show. You can go all over the world. One false teacher can affect millions.
And it's so funny that you say that, because the next couple of weeks we're going to make a real emphasis on telling you how to tell what a false teacher is, right? How we a set of things that you can compare them against. And it's so funny. It used to be hard to check out somebody, you know. Now with the internet, our lives are like wide open, right? Yet nobody does that. You figure during these times that this should be that it was so easy to spot a phony that false teachers couldn't even exist. But yet they do, and they flourish even more because nobody takes the time to look this up. Absolutely. Yes, yes, hold on.
I've even seen where you have done classes and gave evidence of things that people that are on TV and that are preaching in the things they have declared that they believe, and yet the people still listen to them because they don't believe the evidence.
I think we all remember last week with Ray and the video that he showed, yet that man has tens of thousands of followers still.
Well, Peter, he'd also prophesied that many will follow these teachers and their depraved conduct. And you just look around, well, even today, some of these mega churches, you know, there's churches with 40,000 people just following one person. And instead of breaking up into small churches, it's all in one big group, and some of the teachings going on there are just way out there in left field, eh, Ed? In verse 3, Peter says this, "In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories." Greed. There it is. That says it all, right? How many times, you know, we see these TV preachers, "Hey, brother, if you just sow your seed, you know, if you give me $100, Naisa, God will bless you back a hundredfold."
Imagine that.
You did watch the teaching last week.
But if they really believe that God will bless you a hundredfold if you give them the money, shouldn't they give us the money? So that way they would get blessed a hundredfold, right? They really believe that.
If that was true, if we remember what we heard last week on the video, the man said that, you know, he loves new money. He ran out. His sister-in-law was leaving. He ran out and gave her a stack of $100 bills. Then it had been donated to him by people to further the gospel. Tell me how that's furthering the gospel. You can't, because it isn't. Sowing a seed means you're planting something. The only thing to plant is Jesus Christ and the Word of God, not yourself, because that won't grow. It will, but it'll be a weed.
But a preacher, he's got, his last name is Money. There's money in his last name. That's all. Let's leave it at that. So you may have heard the story a few months ago about an Atlanta-based minister who claimed he needed a $65 million private jet.
Amen. I know I do.
So he could safely and swiftly share the good news of the gospel worldwide. I mean, we went on a mission trip, Donna. Did we even get to fly first class?
No.
Did we get a private jet?
No.
But almost as quickly as Pastor Blank Dollar, I won't give his first name, last name Dollar, he has 200,000 followers to each donate $300 toward the purchase of a luxurious jet. It says the campaign vanished and was removed from their website. There was a lot of people giving them grief. It says, but now the World Changers Church International, which also operates so-and-so's ministries, has announced it is ready to purchase the plane. It says we plan to acquire a Gulfstream G650 because it is the best and is a reflection of the level of excellence at which this organization chooses to operate.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Shouldn't we want the very best?
That's,
amen.
That's why Brian drives a Corvette.
Well, Christy does. 18 years old. Older than Jacob back there. We're going to go down to verse 17.
Donna has a comment.
So he's purchasing the jet. Is that for his followers in the church to go on it, to go on mission trips and stuff?
No, that was for him to go, like, to different countries and preach the gospel.
We don't want them dirtying up the Corinthian leather.
And I saw a picture of the jet, and it's all, like, the best of the best, and $65 million. You know, he's going to go into these poor countries, which they probably don't have 65 million between the 10 million people that are there.
But you might not even have an airport to handle a jet like that.
Exactly. I do believe God gives us the best. Amen? I'm not going to say God doesn't want us, you know, have the best, but let's use wisdom here. Amen?
God's already given us his best. Jesus Christ, his
Amen.
Son. What more could we ask for?
Amen.
Everything else is just icing on the cake, right? Nobody needs to be rich. We just need to be well off and need everything we have, and that's what God does. How many people here didn't have a meal last night? Doesn't have a roof over their head, right? Thank God for everything that we have. Amen?
Amen.
I know you could tell us some stories about some of the places you've been, some of the mud huts and stuff, eating dirt cakes or something, you know. I've been to some places that, you know, water and a little broth was a good Sunday dinner, right? So we are blessed in this country. Amen?
Yes, we are. We're going to scroll down to verse 17. It says, these people, false teachers, are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. So God takes it serious, it's false teaching and teachers.
Yes.
For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them.
Think God takes that so seriously? Because God loves you. He loves us. Even Brian and I, hard to believe, but he loves us all. And he takes that seriously because he wants to spend all eternity with us. That's his plan. But these false teachers come and pull people away. And God isn't in hell. God made hell, but God isn't there. Destruction is meaning no more God in your life. A complete absence of God is hell. Physical hell, of course, but just being out of God's presence, out of God's will, out of God's sight, out of God's mind is horrible. But that's not why, what God wants, and that's why he hates these people, because they are intentionally leading people astray.
Amen. I remember a story, Dan Abraham, deacon here, before he came to this church, him and his wife had checked out another local church, and he said they were in there, and right before the offering, they put the video screen down, and all of a sudden they started showing brand new houses, brand new like sports cars, this and that, and the pastor was just up there like jumping up and down, do you want this? And all the congregation was like, yeah, 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 and they're jumping up and down, you sure you want this? And like, yeah, and they're jumping around. Well, then you got to give. And then they threw out the basket to give. And it's like, to me, that's extortion.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I mean, God blesses us when we give that tithe, that 10%, and he's taking care of all our needs, and we can all agree to that. But I tell you what, if you're giving to get like that, it was a totally appeal, like it says here. They appeal to the lustful desires of the flesh.
Now, what do we do here? We have praise reports. People come up while God has moved in their life. Not because what you have done. We don't dictate what God does. God loves us and wants to see the best. He blesses our obedience, not our wallet, not how much we give. The most, the one that gives the most gets the most blessings is not true. God loves everyone. He blesses obedience, right? And everybody that comes up there and gives a praise report, that's what they're talking about. They have done something that God had asked them to do. They stepped out. But it was in God's will. They got prayer beforehand. Is this something that we feel that I should be doing? Is this God? If it is, yes, God will bless it. And that's what everybody's standing up there saying. Show how God blesses obedience to him and his word.
You know, I'm like the rest of you. I want to hear about being prospered. Does anybody want to prosper here? Do you want to have a better life, Sammy, for your daughter and your soon-to-be-born daughter? Amen? We all do. Well, let's take it in, you know, with a grain of salt here. I mean, all these guys do is they talk about money, money, money. And it wasn't the promise of prosperity that brought me to my knees in need of a Savior. Pastor Don didn't come up to me when I was in high school and say, you know, if you follow the Lord, you're going to be, you know, this, you know, if you're going to be rich, no. He pointed out that I was a sinner. Thank you, Pastor Don. I know you're not here. But it was hearing that I was a sinner that I needed saving. Saving from what? From hell itself. And that brought me to my knees. And then as I walked with the Lord all these years, you know, I am prospered. I am blessed.
Yes, you are.
But why are we prospered? We can bless others, right?
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Verse 22, or I'm sorry, Bob, 21. It would have been better, it says, for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to his vomit, and a sow that is washed returns to her wallowing in the mud. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and turned their backs. You know, maybe a lot of these guys started off false teachers in, you know, preaching the truth at first, but then they got twisted along the way, or, you know, hey, I got a better way. Let me show you this way.
Got corrupted.
Corrupted. Remember the... what was it? TBN got brought down by the leader? Yes. Yeah. Embezzled millions of dollars.
And what the shame is also is when these guys fall, they don't fall alone. They take many people with them. Do you think of how many people sowed into that ministry, give to it, devoted their lives to it, and then that happens. A lot of them are going to get disheartened and turn their back, aren't they? Saying that there's no good out there. There's no God. He wouldn't have let this happen. That's why God hates these people.
You know, I've run into people that are non-Christian at work, at the gym, or whatever, and they're like, all you Christians are, you're just greedy, greedy, greedy. You want money, money, money. And I says, no, it doesn't work like that. You know, but they see examples.
God does say he blesses us for giving our tithes, but not more. Everybody gives 10%. Whether you make $1 million or $100, right? You give 10%, right? God is blessing you. He still gets 10%, right? He doesn't go up to 25 or 30. Everything is fair. You can't get more fair than Christianity. Sammy.
We have a We have a guy at work. His name is Ron Cooper, and I work with him. He's from Ohio. And a couple years back, there was a tornado down by his house that ended up ripping his house all apart. And so during this time, he had a friend of his who was a Christian, always in church, his wife always in church. I think she worked in the nursery and stuff like that. And so he's thinking that he could trust them and stuff like that. You know, they're Christians. Well, come to find out, they were actually stealing from Ron this whole time and trying to take money and, you know, stuff like that. So as I've been, you know, trying to minister to Ron at work, he's an older guy, and he's like, man, you know, Christians, I guarantee only about 20% of them actually live by it. And I'm like, the sad part is that's probably true. Those who actually claim it, you know, you actually have to walk it out. And he's like, some of the Christians I've met, they're the most greedy people ever. And I'm like, unfortunately it is, you know, it's that love of money where it ends up drawing people away from, you know, that first love in Revelation. It talks about you went away from your first love, and you end up falling in love with money.
Amen. We're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. I like here Apostle Paul. He confronts the Galatians here. He says this, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. Quote, a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I'm confident in the Lord that you'll take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. You know, it's a sad day, but you do false teaching, you come in, you distort the truth, you're going to pay the price in the end. And that's why, you know, the Bible says, not many of you, here it is, the next, I got it right here. Now, this is a scary verse for me. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So we better be careful.
That's right out of James. Anyone that professes to stand up and teach the Word of God is going to be judged more harshly, and that's why, because we're taking the chance of leading people astray. Amen?
Yes, amen. So God takes it seriously, whoever's teaching others about him and his word. Even if you're just teaching in the preschool, that's vital. That's the first seeds right there. That probably is more important than where we're at senior youth, because by that time they know everything, right, Jacob? There's just some things that talks about the damage done by false teachers. A, false teachers gain control over the whole church. Like the scripture says, just a little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. So the negative influence of a few false teachers has penetrated the whole church.
But Brian, it's not a big lie, it's just a little lie.
Esther had her hand up.
You know, we're quick to believe the bad things in people, aren't we?
We want to, right? We all turn on the
e-news. You ever been to
e-news?
When I'm at the grocery store, the checkout counter, all of these papers, right? Newspapers, were they the Star, the Inquirer, right? They all have good things about people. No, they're all exposés saying, you know, he's got six toes and he lives with a Martian or something. Weird, right? But people buy these. They make a ton of money because people want to hear that. Even though you know it's a lie, you still want to hear that.
I just got back together with a friend of mine. She was a friend of mine that was like a sister to me. So when God pulled us apart, I grieved her. I grieved her so long. And I believe, honestly, in certain times of her life where I grieved because of probably what she was going through. Now, she wanted a husband so bad. And I was, you know, kind of like ministering to her to help her to be with God. But she was drawn away by people of the world so strong that's what's caused the severing. Because when she would see me here at church with the people, she was angry because I was at church with my people. But, you know, when she would leave, she had nobody to help her. So we got back together. God brought us back together. And I went over there to pick her up yesterday because she's now consumed with fear. Fear cripples her because she kept her mouth shut so much because she wanted to be with this man so much to try to. She wanted to fix that man to be her husband. That's what she thought. So yesterday I walked into her house and her sister was there. Now I know her other sister that I ran into is a Buddhist. So this other sister, I walk in there and it makes me laugh because God does take us to places where there is no God. He takes us, if we're willing, into places where we will be the light. I honestly believe that yesterday I was so thankful that God is so strong in me and that we do worship him and we serve him and we read his word and we know wrong from right, because I sat down and I seen these boxes and they were tarot cards. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, was that tarot cards? She believes in these spirits. They're spirits, she's saying, and they're caught in between. I mean, she was, and I was like, Lord, please help me to be very loving and soft, because I know I can be like, you're going to hell. I can be real like. So I did. I even, you know, I tried to explain it to her, but she was just crying. And then all of a sudden I felt her hand. And when I felt her hand, it was extremely cold. And the Lord was like, that's her heart to me. So I did pray with her and I did tell her about the truth. I did direct her to the Bible. But she's closed to the Bible right now. But I told her that she was like an onion, you know, and that we needed to peel back the layers with God. Only Christ could bring that true healing that she needed. And guess what her background is? Guess what her major is in? Psychology and counseling. And she's crying and saying, I'm going to heal people. I'm going to heal. And I'm like, you are not going to heal anybody until you allow God to heal you. She cried. She just was so upset. And then she told me I was judging her. So I said to her, really, to be honest, because your thinking is so obscured that you think that what I'm saying is a lie, but I'm telling you with loving, tender kindness. As I'm telling her all this, her sister's sitting there shaking her head. Yes, yes, that's everything she's saying is true. And they believe that she does believe I was brought back into their life for something. She just doesn't know what it is yet.
Let me ask you a question. Are tarot cards real? Sure they are. You can touch them and feel them. They're real. Can they be used by spirits, not little things in between? There's angels and there's demons. There's demons down here. Demons are smarter than us. Sorry, they're angels, fallen angels, demons. They are smarter than us, right? They can't read your mind, but just like we talk about these false preachers that do cold readings and stuff like that, just watch your... Hold on. I'm getting something from a deceased one. Their name begins with a C. It was an aunt or something of somebody. You know, they throw things up there, and then they watch the audience. If somebody's going like that, could that be you? Oh! It's ridiculous how gullible we can be sometimes. But, yes.
With God, timing is everything. You don't give a car to a little child and tell them, oh, it's okay to drive it. You know, he knows when we can handle the blessing that he's planned for us. He knows what we have allowed him to put into us. And not all blessings are from God. Sometimes they can be from Satan because he knows you can't you're not ready to handle it yet. And it'll draw you away from God instead of toward him.
Absolutely. There's many stories. I can remember one family that come into the church. They were poor in dirt. It wasn't long. All of a sudden, got jobs. Things started picking up. They got a house. They got four-wheelers. They got a boat. Well, you know, God blessed me with a boat. I'm working 6 days a week. The only time I can go out in that boat is on a Sunday. Pretty soon, they're not in church. Not coming anymore. And they lost the boat. They lost the house and everything else. Their marriage broke up. And who do you think they blamed? God.
I want to just take a couple examples of the damage done by false teachers just in the last 40 years. In the church. I think of certain denominations who have allowed false teachers and their teachings to continue. And because of that, today we have major denominations of churches celebrating and performing gay marriages. Now, in my mom's generation, that would have never happened. That's just in this last generation. Major denominational splits, and there's more and more jumping on board.
Yes. Yes.
And then when abortion became legal, there's more and more denominations jumping on board with that. In fact, this was just in 2015, the United Church of Christ said this. It says, in continuing attempts to keep abortion affordable to all women, in January 2015, the United Church of Christ sent out a press release expressing opposition to a proposed law by Congress that will ban federal funding of abortions. Basically, the church was saying, well, you can't ban that. We have to make it affordable for all our members. Are you kidding me? That's a major... When I was growing up, I knew several people that went to United Church of Christ and good, godly people.
They've united with the Presbyterian Church, and now they're called it the United Presbyterian Church. They are the most liberal church out there. They ordain gays, women, everything. If you can crawl in there, they'll give you a ministry.
And that's just within the last 40 years.
Even further back, I can throw out one fast example. Anybody remember Jimmy Swaggart?
Oh, yeah.
He was a great preacher, great minister. I mean, he spoke. I love to hear him speak.
He's still on TV.
His denomination, he was part of the Baptist church. I forget if it was a fifth, sixth missionary. There's 52 different flavors of Baptist church, but he was one of them. And his church, I shouldn't say that because I'm really not sure. But I do know that when he was caught in indiscretion, which is a code word for sin, right, and still preaching, they said, well, we're going to sit you down for a year. Okay, now that when he got caught, all of a sudden he was repentant. So they said, we're going to sit you down for a year, and then we'll reevaluate what's going on. That lasted for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, he went and started his own Baptist church. Give it his own name, and he probably has more followers than the church he come out of.
Amen. In verse 10, it says, false teachers cause confusion and discouragement. When the Galatians were converted, they related to God with the joyful confidence of the children, calling him Abba Father through the Spirit. But their confidence in God's grace had been badly shaken by the false teachers, who threatened them with the judgment of God if they didn't keep the whole law of God. They were confused and discouraged. So Paul had to reassure the Galatians of the confidence of the Lord regarding them. And he says this, Paul says this. He says, I am confident in the Lord that you'll take no other view. And then he turns the tables on the false teachers by putting them under the judgment of God. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to leave one last story here. It's about my wife to get her attention there. Huh? What?
We're getting a Christy
story. I'm gonna hide behind Bob. This was way back about 15 years ago when I was just a teenager. So about 15 years ago or so, she had a little like a women's meeting, a little Bible study, and one of the ladies had brought a videotape. If you guys don't know what those are, Sammy, you just plug them in. It's a thing called a VCR. And they were playing a tape of this preacher and Christy, who was still pretty young in the faith, but, you know, she'd been serving God for at least 5 years or so. She's like, Ryan, man, they played this tape of this guy, and I just didn't like it. Just like, oh, I just, and you know, they really liked him and blah, blah. She goes, I couldn't bear witness with that. I just didn't like it. Well, come to find out through Pastor Don that this guy was like a false teacher. He didn't even believe in the Trinity. And I'm like, oh, so God was kicking in my wife's discernment even back then. She didn't even listen to it. She like walked into the kitchen like, well, you guys want to listen to that? You go ahead. I'm, you know, I'll go rub my husband's feet or something. You know, I'm in big trouble, aren't I?
I don't know if you guys remember, but when I was at Western, I brought a guy back here. His name was Hassam. Does anybody remember that guy? Tall Arab guy?
Got saved, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So he first got saved and stuff, converted from Islam. And you want to? No. So we go back to Kalamazoo, and, you know, he's just, you know, when you get saved, like, you're just on fire. You're like, man, this is new. This is exciting. So he's like, I want to go to church every day. You know, I want to go. And so I'm like, well, you find a church that you want to go to, I'll go with you and make sure they're teaching what's right. So he had two friends who were like, come to our church. It's phenomenal. We have a guest speaker in this weekend, an evangelist. I'm like, all right, you know, I like evangelists. You know, let's go check it out. So we go, and it was a girl speaker, so she was teaching the whole congregation. And I'm like, all right. Like a red flag just go up at that point, and I'm like, all right, let's see how this goes. And I'm walking in there, and the two girls who told them about the church were like, you know, we just want to warn you, every time our pastor lays hands on us, we just fall backwards and start falling over. I'm like,
amen.
So every time he prays for you, you just get slain in the spirit. Every time. And I'm like, all right, Lord, just, I got to see this. So I'm walking in there, and there's this old woman, probably 65 years old, you know, and 70, whatever. Compared to me. So she's holding a cane as she's walking, like walking real slow. And I'm like thinking her hip's about to break or something. And then they start playing music. Next thing I know, I look at her, and she takes the cane, and she goes, and she starts dancing like a chicken with her head cut off. And then every single person fell down every single time. And speaker.
How about you?
No, well, she's like, come on, you're the only one I haven't prayed for today, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, I don't want you to pray for me. So I end up letting her pray for me. And I'm like, Lord, if this is you, then I'll receive it. But if not, then I reject it. And she started to pray for me, and I wasn't, you know, going down, you know. And so then she took her hand, and she hit me in the head. I'm like, nope, I ain't going. I'm not going down. But it's just like that thing, you know, it's like these people were so fixed on being slain in the spirit that they weren't even paying attention to the word that was being brought forth, the message. And, you know, that's a scary place to be.
Did they invite you back then?
No.
I rejected that, church. Say Jesus.
Well, he wants to sing.
It's about time to end, it's but Brian time. And yes, I sir. Will be back for another couple weeks on this because this is vitally important.
Traveling road
right?
show.
Right? Traveling road show. But I'd like to end with one fast story. Donna, Eddie and I went to, and my lovely wife, went to a wedding. Talking about false teachers, went to a wedding. Here come the minister, a lady with, like, robes you wouldn't believe, you know. The minute you see her, like, every hair on my body stood up.
Oh.
I think Donna passed out in the aisle, yeah. This was a... It was so horrible. She talked about a ring, you know, being a full circle and all the world and spirits are all together. But this got me. She instead of quoting the Bible while she was speaking, she actually one time, and Donna, I wouldn't believe myself on this, but Donna can verify it. She quoted page 63 from the Sports Illustrated swim book, didn't she? And people were there going, amen, yes, yes, amen. So, you can get to Donna and get that story later. It's a good one. But it's easy to find a false teacher. It's hard to find a true teacher. But we can, and there's no excuse not to. Amen, and we're going to get into that the next couple weeks. Amen. Amen. All right. Who would you like to give Brian a hand? Who would you like to close, Brian?
Naisa.
Naisa, please.
Did I tell you I love you today?
That's why I picked on you. We only got 15 minutes, though.
My God.
So thank wrap
you,
it up.
Lord. We thank you for this teaching, Lord. We thank you for your people that are here. Bless the ones that are on their way here, dear God. And we just ask you to actually just bless us and anoint us and love on us even more, dear God. Give us the spirit of discernment and make sure that we are approved by you, Father. And just keep blessing us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.